The late night shows weighed in on the president's obsession with TikTok. Seth Meyers said, "I'm almost certain Trump has no idea what TikTok is. I'm betting TikTok was one of the answers he wrote on his cognitive test." Jimmy Fallon with three in a row. Apparently, this is a real national security threat, the Chinese government knowing which Americans can and can't dance. Jimmy again, "I'm sure it has everything to do with the national security and nothing to do with the TikTok teens who sabotaged his Tulsa rally." Jimmy again, "Trump gave Microsoft 45 days to make a deal, although they'll spend the first 44 days clicking, remind me tomorrow." I lied. There's four from Jimmy. "It's a big day for the three TikTok fans that also love Excel spreadsheets." Love it. Seth Meyers said, "Trump doesn't know anything about TikTok and he doesn't actually care. He just says stuff like this because it's his favorite thing to do. He loves to stand on the White House lawn next to a giant whirring helicopter and shout empty pronouncements at reporters because it makes him feel like he's actually the president, not just some soulless husk who fell ass backward into a job he wasn't qualified for because some dummy made fun of him at a dinner once." And that's Seth referring to his own jabs at Mr. Trump while hosting the White House Correspondents' Dinner in 2011. If you like Star Trek, Lower Decks is out today. That's the new animated comedy series. That's why I'm talking about Star Trek on the pod. This from CNET. Mike McMahon has a question for one of the co-stars. "What's our number one rule whenever we're doing Star Trek jokes?" And the answer is, don't punch down on Star Trek. I'm a big Trekkie, and to mix my series here, I have a bad feeling about this. I am not excited about this show at all. Now, it's got partial legacy from the Rick and Morty crew, and I love Rick and Morty, but it's like, you know, the old, I love ice cream and I love spaghetti, and I don't need the two together. I'm not excited about this one. Writer and producer Mike McMahon said, "Rick and Morty and Lower Decks episodes both start in a very sci-fi place, and then they spiral off from there. Rick and Morty's a harder show to write because every episode has to be, you know, the most brain-twisting, mind-bleeping episode ever. And on top of that, Rick has a portal gun that can take him anywhere, so you're always trying to figure out reasons he left it in the toilet." McMahon says that Rick and Morty creator Dan Harmon is a huge Trek fan. "He's the kind of guy who's consumed so much media and stored away all these different iconic, mythologically broad ways to tell a story and make TV and make people laugh. Lower Decks certainly has a dash of Rick and Morty spirit. When the show opens with a main character's leg sliced open by a drunk colleague waving a Klingon bathleth, you know you're not on the Enterprise. When you're following a group of galactically hapless losers on a lesser starship, you're even in for some un-Starfleet language, bleeped, of course." Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. I'll go off on a Star Trek tangent for 15 seconds here. Everything that the current regime has done on CBS All Access has been terrible, including Picard, so I am not excited for this one. Star Trek podcast over, back to comedy. From Deadline, HBO Max has set an August 20th premiere date for the first round of its previously announced stand-up specials as part of its Summer Comedy Festival programming lineup. Solo specials from Rose Matafeo, Beth Stelling, and James Veitch, as well as a multi-act special from the Ha Comedy Festival. All that August 20th on HBO Max. Meanwhile, CBS Comedy Central International and the Edinburgh Festival Fringe Society, say that three times fast, unveiled the up-and-coming talent lineup that'll be shown in a series of comedy specials with a, quote, virtual audience. Jamali Maddox will host the 10 7-minute-long episodes, and the performers will be a bunch of people you probably haven't heard of. That's why it's the up-and-coming talent show. I love when the Montreal Comedy Festival does that show, and I'm sad that I don't get to go to Montreal this year and see it. That's one of the ways that I really keep abreast of who's up-and-coming, so we'll keep an eye on this one from Fringe. The series will air across Comedy Central International's Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram channels weeknights starting August 17th. And there'll be a highlight show on Comedy Central UK on August 28th that will roll out internationally shortly thereafter. Well, that's cool. John Oliver this week on Last Week Tonight caught some attention. He spoke about U.S. history and he showed a CBS News report citing a current Texas history book that reads, quote, "Some U.S. settlers brought slaves to Texas to help work with the fields and do chores." Wow. Wow, 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 wow. In the clip, a historian said, "I don't think we should describe slave labor as chores." Oliver chimed in saying, "Calling slave labor chores is a euphemism on par with calling Hitler a best-selling author with a side hustle, or JFK's assassination as a bad hair day, or Last Week Tonight as a comedy show." All right, let's do some listener mail here. Vista Johnson's commented on Apple Podcasts while leaving a 5-star review. Thank you, Vista Johnson's. And I really appreciated your note, and I wanted to figure out a way to get back to you. And I couldn't figure out how, so I'm going to do it here on the pod. Now, if anybody wants to get in touch with me, there are several ways. There is a Facebook page, facebook.com/dailycomedynews. The Twitter handle is @DCNpod, and my personal Twitter is @MCDRadio, @MCDRadio, so you can always reach me there. So Vista Johnson's wrote, "Hey, your new ads, yes, annoying. However, I get it. The ads at the beginning are the best bang for advertisers' buck. They aren't long enough to fast forward through, so I end up listening. Maybe some kind of talk before and after ads in the middle by you to make it more part of your show. I'm happy to listen to ads to help you stay on and get some income to boot. Truly appreciate the note." As I mentioned on last week's podcast, yeah, I want to figure out how to do the ads here in a way that's not annoying. As you brought up, the ad before the podcast proper begins is a good way to make money, and that's a default setting. So what's happening on your end at the point of download of the show, the hosting company decides to insert ads. There are points at the beginning and the middle of the show. I've gotten rid of the ones at the end of the show that immediately felt like too much. And like, I'm being honest with you guys, I'm tinkering here trying to figure this all out. As for the one that appears in the middle of the show, sometimes it'll get skipped. I did not get fed a mid-roll ad this morning and it just went through. So what I'm doing as I record is I just kind of leave an extra second there where the ad may or may not go. So to say like, "Hey, coming up, here's an ad," the ad might not be there. So I still have to figure all that out. And again, just being transparent here, my fantasy, I want to sit on the beach, make some cash, read some comedy news. I don't think you could fault me for that. So we'll figure that along the way. But if the ads are annoying, you know, I'd love to hear from you guys at McDRadio, at DCNpod, or the Facebook page. Now, as a user, I use an app called Pocket Casts. Pocket Casts allows you to set individual podcasts to skip the first X seconds of a show, the last X seconds of a show, etc. So a podcast like, say, Joe Rogan that starts with, you know, a 10-minute commercial block, or Mark Maron usually starts with 6 or 7, or Bill Simmons starts with 1.5 minutes, I have custom settings on those. So you might want to consider setting Daily Comedy News to skip the first 30 seconds. I would totally understand and possibly do the same thing myself. But yep, trying to make a buck. All right, I heard from Diane on the Facebook page, and I'm laughing. She wrote, "Okay, dude, you piqued my curiosity. I went to Hulu and brought up Dennis Leary's The Moody's, and here's my synopsis for you. To catch everybody up, I was doing a story a week ago, 2 weeks ago, and discovered apparently Dennis Leary had a show on Fox called The Moody's. They snuck 6 episodes past us in December, running 2 a week, which is usually a bad sign. It means they just want to burn it off and don't care about it. But then COVID came along, and they renewed it because, you know, Dennis Leary sitcom that's been around." So she wrote, "Here's my synopsis of The Moody's for you. Episode 1. Okay, everybody knows that even the first pancake gets thrown to the dog. Poor little boo-boo. It's Christmas time and the dad, played by Leary, has cancer." She wrote, "I'm sure I'm laughing deep, 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 deep down inside." Yeah, what kind of show is that? Episodes 2, 3, 4, and 5. "Oh my God, someone please shoot me." This is like a train wreck that I can't turn away from. At this point, I'm considering it a personal challenge, and I'm secretly hoping there's at least a t-shirt in it for me at the end. Episode 6, they have to put their family dog down. Holy fuck, that's me saying that. And she wrote, "And I don't even get a fucking t-shirt." Holy cow, Diane, thank you for sending that in. That is The Moody's on Fox. You probably missed it. I think we all did, but it has been renewed for season 2. Isn't that great? Also on the Facebook page, I've been going back and forth occasionally with one listener who was observing that when I do the late night jokes, I tend to make fun of Trump. That is the late night writers, not really me. If they make fun of something else, I'll probably include that. I do like doing the late night jokes at the top of most of the episodes of the podcast, but Trump's in the news and, you know, that's what the jokes are. And maybe someday in the future we'll be doing another 4 years of Trump jokes, or we'll be doing 4 years of Joe Biden being old jokes. Who knows? And from news.co.au, an Australian comedian's joke about the Christchurch mosque shootings has sparked a fierce debate online. In a recently released special called Antihero, comedian Isaac Butterfield told the following joke, and I'm warning you here, you may be offended at this joke, maybe not. He says, this Australian extremist stormed the building, this mosque, this room where people were saying their prayers and going about their business. For me, the saddest thing about that wasn't the 52 people who were killed. It wasn't the countless others who had their lives changed forever because their family members were taken from them. It was the hundreds of people that night who couldn't make it home from nightclubs in Christchurch because all the cabbies were dead. Almir Kolan is the director of the Australian Center for Islamic Finance. He tweeted a clip of the joke that has started some debate, and Mr. Kolan wrote about the joke, "I think people like Isaac Butterfield argue that there is too much political correctness, and that's a fair point, and that comedians should be free to talk about anything and nothing should be off limits. That's also fair enough. We don't want to live in a totalitarian society where people are scared to demand their rights and live in fear from too powerful government or corporations." But in his joke about the victims of the Christchurch massacre, Butterfield is not going against some powerful forces, nor is he using his voice to speak truth to power. Butterfield is bullying the most powerless and voiceless amongst us. He is haunting the survivors and victims who have only memories of loved ones left. It is not brave or honest or standing up for anything. It's just insensitive, rude, vile, low. I do think there are some good points there. The crux of the joke is basically, you know, who drives a cab in a particular city. Not the most clever joke. If you want an example of a way to do such a thing, there's a Todd Barry joke about 9/11. And I'm doing this from memory, but the setup of the joke is like, it's 9/11. Somebody asks him, you know, if he heard about the news. And Todd's reaction was that some band's new CD had come out. Yeah, he had heard. And, you know, he obviously does it better. Maybe I'll play it on the Live by Live show this weekend just to illustrate it a little bit better. But there are ways to do it. And yeah, maybe that wasn't the best joke in the world. Interesting debate there. That is your comedy news for today. Subscribe on Apple or Google. Follow on Spotify, and I'll see you tomorrow.